The Liberals Gun Corner, a proud progeny of the Gun Rights Radio Network. Hosted by Cowboy T, San Francisco liberal with a gun. You can always find this podcast at www.liberalsguncorner.com. And you can email us at cowboyt@liberalsguncorner.com. Cowboy T here. Welcome to episode 38. Last time, we reflected on September 11th, 2001. It's been just over a month since that episode. Every year about this time, the subject of the Muslims comes up. And I've had some time to think about that. Well, there are a couple of schools of thought about the Muslims. They're both pretty common, actually. One of them's the pro-violence, towel-head-wearing, pro-terrorist, hating-on-Israel scumbags. The folks who kill anyone who ain't Muslim, especially Christians and Jews. You know what I'm talking about. The folks who used physical violence to bully pro-Christian protesters up in Dearborn, Michigan. The ones who do this, well, I call it dishonor killings on girls who don't toe the party line. Them folks. The other school of thought, well, that's more like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Muhammad Ali, and, well, late Army Corporal Kareem Rashad Sultan Khan. The first two, well, you and everyone else in the world, you already know about them. Abdul-Jabbar, basketball legend. Muhammad Ali, the greatest champion boxer and conscientious objector. Both major, major civil rights icons. But what about that last one, that corporal? Well, that dude's buried in Arlington Cemetery. See, he died over in the sandpit fighting for the United States against terrorism. You know, them folks. That's the two major schools of thought I usually hear about when I hear the Muslims. And it's gotten me to think about something recently. We've talked about why, for historical reasons, black Americans should be the most pro-Second Amendment of all Americans. Matter of fact, we've talked about that here on the Liberals Gun Corner quite a few times, as I recall. They aren't the only ones, either. If memory serves, we've also talked about the Native Americans, or American Indians, whichever term you prefer. This was after my trip a couple months ago up to Pine Ridge in South Dakota. Yeah, you know, the res. So we know what happened when black people and the American Indians got disarmed. We know what happened to them. So we already know why they should be, like, totally pro-Second Amendment. And I don't think anybody who's studied how they were treated in this country can seriously argue otherwise. But then I got to thinking. Yeah, I know. Yes, it hurts. Well, if that applies to them, and I think I've shown that it does, then what about our brothers and sisters who are Muslim? Yeah, what about them? Well, shouldn't surprise you that I'm thinking, yeah, the same thing ought to apply to them too. I've seen and heard some things that make me think, maybe, just maybe, American Muslims ought to arm up too. You know, purchase a firearm, go to the range, exercise their Second Amendment rights too. Especially with all this going on with ISIL and Syria and Iran. You know, all that stuff? Yeah. Might not be a bad idea, actually. Yeah. Matter of fact, I think it's a pretty darn good idea. When we come back, I'm going to show you my evidence for why they should, and why we, as the pro-Second Amendment community, ought to be welcoming it and encouraging it. Now, some of you are going to not just disagree, you're going to vehemently disagree. Okay, well, if you do, then you do. But at least just hear me out. As I always do here, I will present my evidence for my claims. I always have in the past, I will do so here again. And some of you really, I mean really, aren't gonna like it. But guess what? The antis don't like it when I point out errors in their judgment either. Doesn't stop me. We're pretty equal opportunity that way here on the Liberals Gun Corner. So stick around, folks. I think it's gonna get Oh, kind of warm in the kitchen here. See you in a bit. Okay, we're back. We're going to talk about why I think American Muslims should be armed and why I think you ought to agree. And by armed, by the way, I don't mean just one person in a neighborhood having a gun. Oh, no. I'm talking every one of them. And I mean armed to the teeth. Something like what that black American grandmother in Detroit used recently to repel those three armed thugs that broke into her house and threatened her grandkids. Like that. She had a high-point rifle in 9mm. She used it to most excellent effect, dudes and dudettes. Darn right she had a gun. Why? Because she knew her home might possibly get invaded like that and Granny was ready for him. She took a hit in the hand, yeah. But like the old saying goes, you should have seen the other guys. Likewise, personally, I think every home of every American Muslim should have at least one handgun and one shotgun, and preferably a rifle as well, something like Granny's High Point. Or, heck, for that matter, maybe an AR-15 with the standard capacity 30-round magazines in them. Yeah, that's right. Let them all be armed up. Wow. I know what you're thinking. Sounds pretty pretty radical there, doesn't it? What's up there, Cowboy T? How come you're saying all this radical kind of stuff? Well, actually, I don't think it's that radical. And it turns out I've got good reason. I've mentioned before, I regularly go to gun shows in my area. Matter of fact, there were two of them in the last month. Excuse me, I did three in the last month, rather. This last one was in Virginia Beach. And, well, as usual, I was behind the VCDL booth doing some pro-2A advocacy. Gun shows are fun, I gotta say. All those toys. And all those signs and t-shirts in both English and Arabic that say something like, "Stand back 100 meters or you will be shot." Wow. Well, folks, that seems pretty harsh to me. Here's why. 4 years ago, in 2010, a beautiful young woman named Rima Fati won the Miss USA pageant. Well, some, shall we say, less than enlightened individuals started insulting her, calling her, and I quote, "Miss Shiite Muslim America." That's a direct quote. Well, among all the other ugliness in that statement, and yeah, that's pretty darn ugly, it was actually Miss USA, not Miss America, so fail number one right there. But I digress. Turns out Rima's family is originally from Lebanon, and as it happens, yeah, they're Muslim. Like many Arabic folks, she's kind of swarthy. Long black hair, chocolate brown eyes, light brown skin, and in her case, gorgeous as hell. I was looking at her going, wow, that chick's a babe. Miss BHC, I hope you'll forgive me for this, but it did occur to me for just a moment, does this mega fox have a boyfriend? Yeah, probably. All them pageant girls do. Oh, well. Hey, I got eyes, folks, and I ain't dead, all right? That was my reaction to this beautiful, talented woman. Now, what did these other than enlightened individuals do? Well, they called her not a real American. Yeah, I know. They posted up pictures of white women, former pageant winners, and said, "Now that's what real American beauty looks like." I saw plenty of folks calling Rima a terrorist and an Al-Qaeda sympathizer. Not a real American. She ought to go back home to Arabistan. Even threats against her life, too. Oh, and by the way, that's the stuff you can actually print in a newspaper. The other stuff I heard is not fit for either print or podcast. And these blockheads that acted like that? Well, now we're getting to the part that some listeners are not gonna like hearing. So brace yourselves. White, conservative, Christian, Republican, NRA members. Uh-huh, yep, that's right, our fellow gun owners, folks. And yes, this was done on a pro-Second Amendment board. I couldn't believe what I was reading. So, in still utter disbelief, I printed out a hard copy and showed it to a fellow VCDL member at the next gun show. Well, he too is a white Southern Christian conservative who generally votes Republican. He saw this, and he was disgusted by it. Just shook his head in disgust and said, T, sometimes you can't fix stupid. I'd hate to think that he's right. But hey, isolated incident, right? Nope, afraid not. 4 years later, a young woman, this time of East Indian extraction, Miss Nina Davaluri, won the Miss America pageant. And this time it actually was Miss America, not Miss USA. But, you know, it felt like deja vu, folks. Threats against her life, too. Go back to Pakistan! Muslim terrorist! All that. And here's the kicker. She's not from Pakistan, and she's not even from India. No! Girlfriend's from Syracuse, New York! That's right. Born and raised. See, she was Miss New York during the Miss America competition here, and she was getting that kind of flack even during her time as Miss New York. She's got swarthy skin, jet black hair, chocolate brown eyes. You're seeing a pattern here, right? Yeah, she's a mega babe. Total fox, folks. Oh, and she's not even Muslim either. Nope, she's Hindu, like her parents. Now, here's what one such enlightened individual had to say about this gorgeous, talented woman named Nina. This guy's name is Todd Starnes, one of the commentators for Fox News. I quote, Miss Kansas, a gun-toting, deer-hunting, military veteran, was America's choice, but not the liberal Miss America judge's choice. Todd Starnes, September 16th, 2003. Now, what was all that about? Well, here's a little background. Miss Kansas, the guy who this Todd Starnes fellow was talking about, was a blonde white woman, gee, big surprise, named Teresa Vail. Yes, Teresa is a gun owner. Apparently she does hunt. And yes, she is an Army veteran. She also was the first Miss America contestant to ever display a tattoo. This is specifically of her Army command. Oh, and she has another tattoo on the other side of her body of the Christian Serenity Prayer. Okay, well, no problem. Great. And yeah, this blonde white woman is certainly very good looking. No question about it. But folks, that's hardly the only standard of beauty. Let's continue. Quote, the liberal Miss America judges won't say this, but Miss Kansas lost because she actually represented American values. Todd Starnes, September 16th, 2013. Now we're getting to the heart of things, folks. Apparently, Teresa, quote, actually represented American values, close quote. Meaning, of course, that Nina did not. No, Nina's not really a real American, you know, looking like she does, doing that funky Indian dance thingamabob, not being a Christian, all that. Nah, Nina doesn't represent American values, no! Only blonde white Christians apparently do. And here's the final little gem from Mr. Starnes that I'll share with you. Quote, Miss Politically Correct America, close quote. Same date. Yeah. Anyone who doesn't look like Christy Brinkley can't legitimately win Miss America. Nah. I'm guessing he thought Vanessa Williams didn't represent American values either when she was crowned Miss America. Who knows? Maybe my friend is right. Maybe you can't fix stupid after all. I'm going to borrow a phrase from former Governor Sarah Palin. Have you seen Nina? Man, oh man. Like I said, she's a mega babe. Hubba hubba, people. But not to good Christian Todd Starnes. Yeah, Toddy boy, you're really following Jesus' example there. Oh, but this is just one guy, right? One guy with basically a big old honking megaphone, also known as a media outlet. Right? Just one guy, right? Oh, if only that were the case. When we get back, folks, we're going to see how this translates into something a lot bigger than just this one dude or just one or two, you know, pageant girls. No, this is bigger than that. The kitchen ain't done heating up just yet. We'll see you soon. We just got through talking about this fellow Todd Starnes, oh so Mr. Christian, on Fox News. Apparently he's the self-appointed guardian of Christianity there on Fox. Funny, I don't remember anything like what he's saying showing up in my copy of the Bible. Yes, folks, Cowboy T has a copy of the Bible. Yeah, actually two of them. One of them was my mom's, and I've had it since I was 4 years old. She gave it to me then. Well, hey, she thought it'd be a good influence on me. And she was right. In the process, I got to learn something about this fella named Jesus Christ. I sure don't remember seeing anything like that kind of hate coming out of Jesus' mouth, though. But this is just one dude, you know, one guy. Right? Right? Well, unfortunately, this Todd Starnes blockhead, and I do think he's a blockhead, he isn't the only one spewing this hate against them darkies. Uh-uh. This jerk was helping to foment a more general unrest against Nina here, simply because Nina isn't white. I guess this Todd fella probably thinks she looks like a tourist, too, huh? Yeah. Here this jerk is, actively fomenting hatred against a woman, not for anything about her character, but rather because she isn't of his specific religion and because she's got more pigment than he does. Ain't that something? Talk about utter, complete misuse of a media platform. Yeah, I know. He's got the First Amendment right to spew that garbage. Yes, I know. But, like many of my white conservative brothers and sisters have correctly reminded me on several occasions, just because you can do something doesn't mean that you should. My white conservative brothers and sisters were right about that advice. And I claim that this Todd Starnes fellow should not have done that. He can, but he shouldn't have. He's an educated man. He knows he influences people. And that's not a good way to influence people, spewing that kind of hate. But the problem is this. He's not just an isolated case. He's one of several. Yeah, he's one of several. I wouldn't be surprised if Nina had to have some extra level of bodyguard protection with her during her reign as Miss America, just to keep the racist wackos from getting close enough to injure her. The girl is from Syracuse, New York, people. Oh, here's some other choice comments about her. These beauties are culled especially for you, our listeners, from things like Twitter feeds and comments on several conservative-oriented gun boards. Here we go! First one. Well, they just picked a Muslim for Miss America. That must have made Obama happy. Maybe he had a vote. I'll bet he wished he had a vote, given how beautiful she is. Here's another one. I'm literally so mad right now that an Arab won. Excuse me. She's Indian, not Arabic. How the bleep does a foreigner win Miss America? She's an Arab. 9/11 was 4 days ago and she gets Miss America? Don't you have to be American to win Miss America? This B word is some type of Indian. Hey, wait, hey, we're making some improvement. That particular individual at least figured out that she's not Arabic, she's Indian. Let's continue. It's called Miss America. Get out of here, New York. You look like a terrorist. Gee, I wonder what that looks like. I wonder what looking like a terrorist is. But, well, we'll continue. Miss America right now or Miss Al-Qaeda? More like Miss Terrorist. Nice slap in the face to the people of 9/11. How pathetic. And, folks, the coup de grace. We have a black president and an Asian Miss America. This ain't America no more, guys. Wow. Just wow. And here's the scary part, folks. That wasn't Todd Starnes. Uh-uh. Not that time. It wasn't Sean Hannity. It wasn't Ann Coulter or Michelle Malkin or any of the other famous people with major media platforms. What you just heard? That was everyday people, folks. The rank and file. Yeah, the grassroots. Everyday folks on the street. That's troubling. Oh, and I heard similar things being said at gun shows, too. As a matter of fact, I even once heard somebody talking about, I can't even believe I'm having to tell you this, a bullet being put through her. Yeah, that's right. Someone actually talked about a bullet getting put through her. And now, my white conservative brothers and sisters, and especially those of you who, like me, claim some Irish descent, well, a lot of you wear green on St. Patrick's Day, don't you? Sure you do. I see you doing it. You go out and you have a celebratory drink that day, don't you? Sure you do. Of course you do. It's St. Paddy's Day. Nothing wrong with that, as long as you drink responsibly and don't go driving drunk or something. Sure, celebrate it. Have a good time. How many of you have gone to see Riverdance when they were performing? Well, I don't know the count, but I know it's several of you. I know you did because you told me you did. And you were right to go see them because Riverdance rocks. They're just, like, good. I'd even say they're mega good. But I remind you, all that stuff, it ain't American, folks. That's right. It's Irish, not American. You're celebrating an Irish tradition there, not an American one. Again, nothing wrong with that. Heck, I do it. Sometimes I wear green on St. Paddy's Day, too. Yeah, I got a bit of Irish, too. Must explain me temper sometimes. Aye. Sure, nothing wrong with any of that. So I ask you, how is Miss America 2014, Nina Davaluri's celebration of certain Indian traditions, any different? Seriously, how's it different? I'm not seeing that it is. And for doing that, oh, and for being brown-skinned too, got to remember that part, she got threats against her. A little something to make you go, folks. Personally, I think that Nina needs a gun. That's right, a gun. G-U-N. Firearms. Something that goes bang that can help her defend herself against wackos. You know, something nice and concealable. You know, like maybe a little .38 snub nose, or maybe a small 9mm. Something she could deploy the next time some redneck jerk gets up at her face for not representing American values. They think Miss Kansas, Teresa Vail, is great for being a rifle-toting beauty pageant queen, do they? Okay, then they ought to be just as supportive of Nina packing something, too. Oh, wait, they're not? Wow, and here I thought they supported the Second Amendment. I remind you that Nina is, in fact, American. Syracuse, New York, folks. Born and raised. So, how about Miss USA 2010, 4 years ago? Rima Fati. Yeah, you know, the one we started off talking about earlier. Well, there are a few differences. That is true here. Unlike Nina, Rima is actually of Arabic descent. Specifically, Lebanese. Yeah, kind of like Jamie Farr. You know, the MASH actor? Oh, and also, unlike Nina, Rima is actually Muslim. Think there's a case for Rima packing a gun? I do. Well, goodness, considering what happens to folks like Nina who simply, quote-unquote, look Middle Eastern to some jerks out there. You heard what people are spewing. We just talked about it. Well, what happens when the person actually is of Middle Eastern descent? Like Rima? Yeah, I'd say it's gonna be a doggone good accessory to have. Emily Miller. You know, the woman who wrote Emily Gets Her Gun? She thought so, enough to go buy one for herself. And she went through the Washington, D.C. process to do all that. And Emily is a blonde, white, Christian, conservative, Republican woman. Time for these swarthy girls to arm up too, I'd say. If blonde, white, Christian Emily needs it, and I would argue that yes, she does, then these girls really need it. Might I suggest a Smith & Wesson J-frame, given your generally smaller hands? Oh, that doesn't fit your hands so well? Okay, then maybe a Ruger LCR might be another excellent choice. With either one, you can shoot the assailant right through your purse if, God forbid, you ever need to. Now, I'm guessing some of you listening to all this might be a little uncomfortable with what I'm suggesting here. Well, if you are, I really don't think you should be. A lot of you have sisters too, don't you? I sure do. But if you're feeling a little uneasy about this idea, then maybe that's something you want to think about. And you're going to get that opportunity, because we're far from done with this yet. We'll be back. Oh yeah, there's more to come. We're back. There's a guy I used to work with, former rangemaster, veteran of Iraq and Afghanistan. Dude was a ground troop in the Marines. Saw actual combat over there, got shot at, did his fair share of shooting as well. Came home alive and in one piece, thank goodness. But he didn't come back home completely unscathed. He's still got some PTSD issues to work with after that kind of experience. I'd imagine most people would. I've only seen death once. Believe you me, that was enough for me. This guy lived with it every day of his life over there. He's a nice guy, a good-hearted guy. And it's entirely possible I'll sell him one of my Mosins. He's looking at picking up a Mosin, just because they're cool old Milsurp rifles. He's already got his AR, of course, being a formerly active Marine and all. He's got his 45, his 9mm, all that. Of course he does. A, he was in the Marines, duh. And B, he worked as a rangemaster. Again, duh. Now he knows he's still a bit wound up from what he saw and lived through over there. He has gotten better. He and I have talked about it. You know, when you see that a friend needs to talk over something with you, y'all know what I'm talking about here? He and I have had a few of those conversations. To his credit, he acknowledges that he has an issue with Muslims. He also knows he's got to work on that. He also knows it won't come instantly. Folks, I've had prejudices like that before too, so I get it. I understand it. In my case, it was... I'm going to share something a little personal with you all here. It was against black American women for a few years during and even a little after college. Hey, wait a sec there, Cowboy T. Aren't some of your own sisters black? Yeah, they are. There's a fine how do you do there, isn't it? So, how in the world could your host, Cowboy T, the San Francisco liberal, develop something like that against folks who look like his own sisters? How does that happen? I'll tell you. It's because of the way that enough black American women treated me with such hatred and disdain all throughout college. I mean, seriously, hatred and disdain, with maybe two exceptions, and one of them was one of my advisors there at school, so I guess we can't really, well, no, we have to, no, we'll count her. The rest, well, they saw my relatively light skin, heard my voice that doesn't sound like LL Cool J, Coolio, or I don't know, I guess nowadays you'd think Chameleonaire or something like that, or Crazy Bone. To them, see, I was too white to be treated like a fellow human being. See, they was too busy being black and stuff. You know what I mean. And I'm not even talking about dating, folks. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something even more basic. Just basic common human decency without a chip on your shoulder looking for a fight. It took me some time to understand why they were acting like that. And since it was in Seattle, well, it turns out there's a very specific reason. I don't have time to go into it here, unfortunately, but I assure you, it is pretty specific to Seattle. It had gotten to a point that if I even saw a black American woman, I'd just assume she was probably a jerk. Yeah. Ain't that sad? I mean, this is me we're talking about here. This did not, by the way, I will say this, this did not apply to black Africans or black Jamaicans or black Latinas. It was specific to black Americans. Of course, I realized that I had to get past that stupid prejudice, because such prejudices are stupid, just by their nature. And by the time I was in my early 30s, I had gotten past it. I did, but it took some work. Well, my rangemaster friend is in, oh, kind of a similar situation. See, every day he had people shooting at him, planting bombs to kill him, tossing missiles his way to do him and his buds in. Every day. And they looked Arabic and professed Islam as their religion. Yeah, you never really knew who the enemy was and who were the friendlies. You Vietnam vets, you know what I'm talking about, because that was your situation too. A lot of Vietnam vets ended up marrying pretty Vietnamese women. But a lot more of them came back with terrible prejudices about the damn gooks. Y'all remember that? And saying stuff like, we ought to napalm the whole expletive country. Growing up in San Francisco, I remember hearing some of the Vietnam vets saying these things. Thank goodness my parents didn't teach me that. Well, replace Vietnam with either Iraq or Afghanistan, and gook with either Talhead or Muslim, and you got the same thing going. Remember, these vets are people who lived on the edge of death every day they were over there. The sand pit is our modern-day Vietnam, and my friend was over in it. And I mean hardcore in it. Here's what happened one evening. I just finished my own range practice with Miss BHC. My friend was on duty that day with another rangemaster, since we always have two RSOs out there for safety purposes. I could see something was off a bit. So I asked him, hey bro, how are you? He told me he was really hopped up. Turned out there was a fellow with an Afghan gun club t-shirt on, and he not only had the long beard, but he also had a scarf wrapped around his hair. Many Muslim men do this. Now, this Afghan fellow was doing nothing more than what I do every time I go to the range. Matter of fact, it was what I did when I was at the range that night. What was he doing? He was practicing hitting bullseyes. Following all the range safety rules and everything. Wasn't bothering anyone. Oh, he was with another guy, though. Probably a buddy of his, and they were just doing their thing. The other guy had the beard and the headscarf, too. Well, my rangemaster friend pointed at these two Afghan dudes, and the conversation went, between him and me, went basically like this. You see that? What? That! That expletive. Who, bro? That expletive with the Afghan gun club shirt. Oh, yeah. What, he didn't like flag someone, did he? No, he didn't do that. It's his freaking shirt. Well, at this point, Miss BHC was waiting for me so we could go wash up. I gave her a look saying, I'm going to be here for a bit. Go on ahead. She got the message and left us alone for a bit. He and I talked. I knew he'd been over there, but that night, a more full description of what he did over in the sand pit came out. See, he saw that shirt as a slap in the face at everything that he and his fellow Marines had tried to do to help the Iraqis and Afghanis over there with their new elected governments. Whether you agree with the wars or not, this is how my friend saw it. And he nearly paid for it with his life on several occasions. He told me, I know I shouldn't be mad at that guy. He didn't do anything. I know that. Up here in my head, I know that. But seeing that shirt just makes me want to punch him. Then he told me how it was for him right after he got back to the States. Definitely PTSD issues there. Oh yeah, big time. He was getting in fights at bars several times a week back then, right when he got home. His NCO finally told him, "That's it, you're gonna go see the head shrink. You need some help." And he did. My friend told me, "I've definitely gotten better, and I'm still working on it. Just not going to be tomorrow. You know, I control it. I use this." And he points to his head. "No, I would never actually hit that guy out there. Of course not. That's crazy. But there's that part of me that really, really wants to. Anytime I see a towel head, I want to haul off and hit him. I won't, obviously, but it's still in there." That's what he told me. You know, folks, there's a difference between what your head says and what your heart says sometimes. Here, your head means your logic, and your heart means your feelings. They are different. I just listened to him pour it out. And I got a little perspective about prejudices like this with guys that go over there and actually have to fight on the ground. That's what he was, the boots on the ground. That's something I never had to deal with in the Air Force, fortunately. When we get back, we're going to continue with this, but also explore the larger implications of it. Stick with me, folks. I'm doing this for a reason. See you soon. You just heard me tell you about prejudice, not just my own challenge with that, but also that of a friend, a Marine Corps veteran of Iraq and Afghanistan. He was still a bit wound up about what he saw over there. He still had a grudge against Muslims for it, too. I understand it. The life he lived was, well, let's put it kindly, a little rough. He's the modern-day Vietnam veteran, folks. And he's not even 30 years old yet. Now, that's just one guy. Now, imagine all those vets, just like my friend, who've come back home over the last 10 years. They're telling their stories, too, to their friends and other people they feel they can trust. This guy trusted me a lot to say all that to me. Make no mistake about that. And that's why I'm not naming any names. He did seem better afterwards. You know, sometimes you just need someone to listen to you without judging you, just understanding. That was my role at that point. Well, Miss BHC had been waiting for me about 15 minutes in the main part of the store. When I came out, she asked me, "Is everything okay?" On the way home, in the privacy of the car, I told her what I just told you. She said, "Whoa." And I don't blame her. I understand his prejudice, and I admire the heck out of him for knowing that it's not right, acknowledging that it's not right, and that he's got some, you know, something to work on there. He really is a good man, folks, and he is to be honored. I'm pretty confident that someday he'll get there. He'll be all right. But what about all those folks who don't see that they have a problem there? Now I'm talking about folks who are raised to believe that the other is bad, bad news, you know, like from the crib. I mean the rank and file, folks. This is the same mentality that says black people are automatically bad, you know, inferior, want to rape white women, cops automatically right to just shoot them, all that stuff. But the person believing that stuff hasn't actually met any black people. You'd be surprised how often that happens. We know about that from the decades after that Jim Crow separate and unequal nonsense got outlawed. You've heard the expression, folks, "They're ruining our way of life." Black people were hung. "String off that nigga," and all that. Jasper, Texas. I'll bet James Byrd, the victim there in Jasper, wished he had a gun right then. Well, replace black with Muslim, and you got basically the same thing. So-called good Christian people vandalizing mosques here in this country. Even shooting up temples of worship, even if it's a Sikh temple instead of a Muslim mosque. The wackos who do this are just that. They're wacko, yes. But where's the mass condemnation from the Christian community when this happens? Where are the good, God-fearing folks then? Hey, if it's fair to ask the Muslims where their condemnation of Al-Qaeda is, then it's just as fair to ask the Christians where theirs is, too. And that's the problem, folks. They're being influenced by the hatred being spewed by the likes of Todd Starnes, Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, Ann Coulter, Michelle Malkin, Pat Buchanan, Rush Limbaugh, and plenty of others like them. Yes, this is coming full circle. I call that fomenting, folks, and the rank and file are their audience. And the rank and file are listening and believing all too often. And you want to tell me, after all that, that Muslims shouldn't arm themselves to the teeth? Seriously? You kidding? Matter of fact, I'm seeing more and more of those of a quote-unquote those towel heads at the gun shows nowadays. And I think it's great. How come? Why would a patriotic American like me think that's great somehow? Huh, well, that's easy. Same reason my dad carried his gun. Well, that towel head, see, he's some kid's father too, just like my dad is mine. And if we're going to advocate for the right to keep and bear arms, which we definitely should, that means it's got to be for everybody. And that includes our Muslim brothers and sisters. It means the rights and the responsibilities that come with those rights. Oh, but what about those honor killings? Well, as I mentioned before, I call them dishonor killings because that's what murder is. Dishonorable. As dishonorable as you can get. But, you know, semantics aside, what about those? Aren't the Muslims the ones that do that? Yeah, sometimes they do, unfortunately. And that's the point. You heard me right. That's the point. Huh? You're asking. I'll explain. One of the things we do to get more women, especially white women, apparently, on board with the Second Amendment, is to talk about that old adage, God may have made man, but Sam Colt made them equal. A gun, see, is the only personal protection device we have that will put a 100-pound featherweight on equal footing with a 300-pound football player. It's also the only thing that will put you on more equal terms with say, a martial artist. Now, consider some radical, nutcase jerkasaur that does decide, my daughter's becoming too American. She's committing apostasy. She's leaving the faith, and buddy boy, there's only one solution for that. Unfortunately, we've had some well-publicized cases of that happening here in this country. In one case, daddy ran over daughter with his car, called it an honor killing. Wow. Not just murder, but grisly murder. May that you-know-what excuse for a father rot in hell. Folks, I have sisters. We may disagree at times, as siblings do, but that doesn't mean I want any harm to come to them either. Well, guess what? Mothers of daughters in that dishonor killing situation, they don't want their little girls killed either. I'm pretty sure of that. But they're usually up against something called superior physical force. Yeah, especially when the uncles and the brothers also get involved. And, you know, then there's no chance. I'm a good-sized guy. You've seen my videos. And I'd probably have my hands full with all that. Unless I have a gun. Matter of fact, that was my dad's exact situation. 3-on-1. But he had a gun. Now, picture this. Imagine wifey in this dishonor-killing situation here also has a gun. Yeah, wifey's armed. Uncles, brothers, and hubby decide to kill daughter. Wifey is smart. She stays quiet, plays strategy, as Bugs Bunny would say, and gets her gun that she's kept hidden. Ha ha. Yup. Next thing you know, these would-be murderers, who themselves may be armed, by the way, they're being held up at gunpoint. Which one of you wants to be the one to die, fellas? Daughter, meanwhile, is dialing 911. Cops are on the way. Woo! woo, 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 woo. Mother and daughter get the hell out of there with Mama's gun. Now, unfortunately, she's got to find a place to live. That's true. But at least her daughter's actually alive. You can get a place to stay, even if it's just a homeless shelter. Even if it's under a bridge for the moment. But you cannot bring back the dead. I got a friend who became a U.S. citizen a few years back. This dude's got a top secret clearance. He and his family emigrated here from Jordan years ago. Yeah, he's Muslim and Arabic too. You know the first thing this guy did after he got his naturalization papers? He went and registered to vote. First thing he did, he viewed it as his civic duty to do so. He and his wife, they've got a few kids. I never asked him if he's a gun owner, of course. You know, that's an awfully rude question. It's kind of like asking a woman her age or how much a man makes. You just don't ask such questions. But I'm going to tell you, folks, I sure hope he's got something. Here and there, see, he's expressed a few concerns about the physical welfare of his family thanks to the aforementioned talking head fomenters and their political allies. Yeah, he's a bit concerned. Of course he is. And those of you who might be thinking, he's probably part of a secret terrorist cell. Yeah, maybe he is. It's possible. But if he is, then so are you. Muslims arming themselves? Heck yeah! I'm all for it. I hope Rima Fatih and Nina Havaluri have guns too. I hope that friend I just told you about has one to defend his family too. Nobody, folks. Nobody deserves to be unfairly profiled. Newt Gingrich was totally out of line on that. And I suspect that's a good part of why he lost the Republican primary 2 years ago. You know, I often do difficult episodes. Of the ones I've put out, this is probably my most, mission impossible type. Some of you will probably never be convinced that this is a good idea. Well, gee, big surprise, that's why we chose that theme music this time. Seemed to fit. Even when it's not convenient for our personal views, folks, we still need to think critically. That's our goal here at the Liberals Gun Corner. Otherwise, there couldn't be a Liberals Gun Corner. Remember, folks, the key to freedom is the ability to defend yourself. And if you don't have the tools to do that, regardless of your religious beliefs, ethnicity, or so-called race, then you're at the mercy of those who would either do you harm or put you away. And the tools for defending yourself are guns. This is Cowboy T signing off. Until next time. Until then, safe shooting. Practice often. Vote in this election cycle. It's your duty. And thanks for listening. We'll be right back.